So that's one of the reasons that we felt it important to bring that down, because you don't mind having some money left over at the end of the year. You never want to be short. You know, you really want to be within 2% of right on. You don't want too much or too little. So we did recommend, and it did move forward through the council, to reduce that number slightly. We did put in there a transfer of $500,000 from the general fund to the capital improvement fund for some safety enhancements. That was something that was in the 2019 budget with the magnitude of the mechanical correction and roof repair project that we have sort of going here. Building that in this year couldn't happen, so that critical need was money was carried forward to. Although there's no specifics for what it'll be used for, the money's available. And then the restricted contingency is down to $1.3 million, and that's really an emergency appropriation. The state requires you to have an appropriation, a plan to spend a dollar for every dollar you actually spend. So if we had some emergency, say a tornado came through town, we had to respond to it, you actually have to have the appropriation, not just the money. So we make sure we have those appropriations built into the budget in this restricted contingency. It takes a supermajority vote to use it, but it puts us one step ahead of many communities who don't have this as far as emergency response goes. And we make sure we keep that amount below what the expenditure restraint program could handle, so we don't risk losing that revenue from the state. The library fund, very quickly, they have about $27,000 in additional property tax in addition to the $20,000 in landfill siting revenue fees they were given. So combined, compared to their primary operating fund, it's about a 3.5% increase for them. That was probably needed. Some of the health fund changes and WRS changes, some of the pay plan changes that occurred since 2015 may have put them a little bit behind parity with the general fund and operations. So this was an effort to put them sort of on a more comparable level with them. The budget and the Common Council really only addresses the amount of levy they're getting in that total funding. The library board actually approves their own budget, and the library board will do that. I'm not sure of their timing. When we get to the item, if anyone wants to know, the library director's here and she can address that. Oh, I hear it's already been done. Solid waste collection fund, again, this receives revenue from user fees, the tippage fees, the recycling grants. The Common Council's been addressing this recently, and so although the proposed budget, as reflected in the ordinance in your packet tonight, has been adjusted to include the changes the Common Council made relative to service delivery, with setting the fee at $134.60 per year. Expenditures and revenues both went up a little over $300,000. That wasn't in the published documents, but since the Common Council has taken actions in it, in the ordinance, you will find it's already been addressed. But as far as the public hearing goes, that decision wasn't yet reached. So,
and we'll need to execute a new contract on that.
Yes, but the ordinance as presented to you gives you the appropriations to be able to approve that contract when engineering brings it through.
Thank you, Your Honor. So the discussion that we had 2 weeks ago, we agreed on a price, basically, and there's still language that needs to be addressed regarding the type of bags, like, you know, paper bags compared to plastic bags, all those types of details that we talked about. That still needs to be hashed out, but it will be included in the dollar amount will be included in the tax bill?
Yes, the $134.60 is built into the budget ordinance before you. So budgetarily...
But that's contingent on us agreeing on the contract. If they slip something into the agreement that we don't like, I mean, we can, right? I mean,
well, the fee is all the fee for this fund is always set at the budget hearing because it is included in the property tax bill. So if for some reason they, in finalizing the language, there's some distinction, there are a lot of alternatives staff would be able to present you about how we could deal with it through fund balance or, you know, picking it up over years. So there's a lot of flexibility there. But if you're looking to be where the Common Council and the service provider both believe the end agreement will be, and the numbers specifically talked about at that meeting, we've addressed those in this budget ordinance so that you don't have to do a budget modification in advance of approving a contract.
I'm surprised that we're doing it this way, where we still have meetings. We have two in December. We at least have another meeting in early December. Why we're putting this in this ordinance here?
Well, we don't have.
We haven't agreed to a contract. We haven't signed off on. I assume we're going to get there, but I mean, what, we're almost putting the cart ahead of the horse here a little bit. Like, there's things that we talked about at that meeting we're assuming are going to be in there, but we have not signed off on. Now you're basically saying, if we have issues with the language, now we have to like kind of go back. We can't unreal this.
Well, now you're combining sort of two different responsibilities of the Common Council.
Uh-huh.
The budget simply is that plan, the strategy. There are most of the items in the budget are anticipating
right. What
will happen. Right. It's the contracts aren't here yet, but we expect, you know, phone bills to go up 2%. And that's how you manage during the
right. Year.
We have good reason to believe that these are appropriate budget numbers based upon the best available information. If something changes, that's where the three of us figure out how to get you from there to here. But since we collect the money in advance, meaning we bill with the property tax bill for the coming year, and we don't have another mechanism in place to collect it any other way, if you didn't set that fee based upon your current best available information, you would end up waiting a year, and you'd always be chasing that money.
Right.
You'd be advancing it to the service provider, collecting it after the fact.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you. Yep.
Sanitary sewer fund. Again, this receives it primarily from user fees. This is really largely a pass-through with MMSD. We usually wait for what their notice of the rate changes is till we actually make the change. This fund does include a capital project of about $3.2 million for a gravity flow sewer in the industrial park. Outside of that, their total expenditures in the fund are about $3.8 million. When you compare that to the revenues, it's essentially balanced. There's only a $7,400 deficit for this year, so the fund is fine as far as balancing expenditures and revenues anticipated. Capital outlay funds. Department requests continue to go up. We had about $1.9 million in requests, which is up nearly 75% from last year. Approvals of about $919,000, so slightly less than half of the departmental needs were able to be met. Demand is simply strong for replacements, and the advancements in new technology creates additional demands that departments have to address. I've included two examples here. In information services, we're continually having to address components of the network relative to security. You know, we've spent hundreds of thousands more in the last few years, but you only have to read the news to see why we have to do that. It's really not a choice, and those aren't costs we had 5 years ago. Same thing with the police department. They had a very legitimate expectation, but it took the cost for an average car from around $41,000 in 2019 to $64,000 this year. So a long-term strategy is going to be need to done with that, address that, how we can do that, because we simply couldn't buy the number of vehicles we've traditionally bought with that and still fund it overall. So there's going to have to be some strategic work done there, but still, three of the vehicles were funded this year with equipment that you know the department was able to show were essential to operations. So there's a contingency which is down to $60,000 this year because of the level of funding that we have. Fund balance, I believe, ends up at $65,000. So it was a strong year in appropriations for the capital outlay fund. Equipment replacement fund, $850,000 was approved from about 1.7 in requests. This is sort of a an account where we keep a try and keep a steady flow of money in to handle the peaks and valleys of major pieces of equipment replacement and fund it over time. Now, with the landfill money this year, some added money was put in. So if that stays there and doesn't need to be shifted over in future years to fill that sustainability gap I talked about at the beginning, right now, from an annualized perspective, meaning looking forward, where it's actually substantially fully funded for the first time. Now, there's still a deficit from prior years, but if we stayed at this level over time, it would actually level out and catch up with itself. The question is whether we'll be able to do that in the next 2 or 3 years and don't have to shift some of that landfill money back to operations. But for right now, you can see that we were able to address an ambulance and 4 DPW vehicles. I would like to make one extra note here, particularly for Common Council who went through the budget process. This fund in your budget document, it's page 321, and I put a replacement page at your desk. There is a summary page on top of it, which probably you focused on and not the details of the fund. The fund and the public hearing notice, everything said that our expenses were $850,000. The summary page said $818,000 because there was DPW portable diesel air compressor wasn't listed on that summary page. The numbers are all right, how it transfers to total, all the accounting was right. It was that summary page that didn't list the DPW portable diesel. But it's the 850 that's in the published notice, 850 that's in the ordinance. So I did provide a revised page 321 for you, just to make sure you're aware of that.
All I have is the two bonding issues, G2 and G3.
I did almost provide it, because apparently I'm here. I stand corrected. Made it into the room, not onto your desk. I apologize. Street Improvement Fund. This is an account where we put funding in and then we bid out sort of the paving program and see how many of the roads that are in highest demand are able to be funded. There's $1.2 million. For 2020, which is a significant increase over last year. With that, we anticipated, depending upon the bid results, that maybe one or two of the recommended projects may not be able to be completed. And the budget document lists the projects, and we start from the top down, as we always have. But with that increase for this year, based upon using up those additional landfill siting revenues, we will get more done than we would have last year with the additional over $300,000.
I have a comment for that fund for the general public. It's important to note that your Common Council has chosen to do the right thing and stay out of the Road Improvement Fund politically. They let the professionals determine which road needs to be fixed so that they're not arguing between themselves. So we're not Milwaukee.
Well, I was going to, that's a great point, and I was actually, last week I spoke to some Cub Scouts at Southwood Glen, and one of the parents asked about roads, and I explained to them the PACER program and how everything works and how politics stays out of it, and I think that's a great thing that we look at what's needed, and that's how we handle it. And just thinking about this fund, I mean, as we move forward, it is really important to properly fund that, because when you drive through other communities, particularly Hales Corners, which is, those roads are just terrible. And I have no idea. Love Hales Corners. My mom grew up there, you know, grandparents. I don't know how they'll ever catch up. They're just that bad of roads. And yes, we've had some bad ones, but nothing to this extent. So it's important that we keep up and keep funding this fund in particular, because that's one thing we hear about is roads, and to have to call up Glenn and can you guys come and patch something? I mean, that's, you only have so much money to patch too. So,
Alderman Wilhelm.
I'm just making a distinction between the rating program and new roads, which sometimes do require a little bit of push. That's it.
The Capital Improvement Fund is a separate fund where we sort of host most of our major construction or building type projects or larger projects, that are maybe using a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of like software or something, and it's a major development. And for 2020, the total cap project expenditures are $8,145,000. It's important to note that there's $3.2 million capital project for the sanitary sewer fund. Because of its size, in the preliminary budget documents, we listed it in the capital improvement fund as well, so you could see it in context with all the other projects. But as far as the accounting side goes, that is in Fund 61, the sanitary sewer fund. And Fund 46 just has the other, which is the $4.9 million. There's about $1.3 million in various park projects, the Community Development Enterprise Resource Program, which is about a $225,000 software project to replace Govern, which really coordinates our property records and things, complaint reports, building inspection runs off of it, licensing runs off of it right now. So it's a major endeavor. So it was put in here because it's also easier to carry over across the end of a year if the project doesn't get completed prior to the end of the year. You can see a South 68th Street mitigation project, the Marquette Avenue improvement projects are in there. That's where the $500,000 for the security enhancements was put in. It does not have any borrowing for the fund in 2020. It did talk about, though, based upon the requests we got in the capital improvement area and some of the things we got in the capital outlay fund, it's obvious we need to be more assertive and expand and enhance our capital improvement program, because we're getting more issues that pop up and are becoming emergencies. And so there's a recommendation built in the budget, there's no funding specifically for it, is that we enhance and expand upon our capital improvement plan so that we don't have sort of whack-a-mole capital improvement planning, where something pops up and we deal with it. These are things that we should be able to anticipate and plan for. And so we're going to have to build on that and pick up all the buildings, the roofs, the parking lots, the HVAC systems, so that we don't have surprises come and expand our term. The development fund is the impact fee fund. It's expected to have about $2.1 million collected. Approximately $450,000 of that supports the debt service fund, if they're all available. You can see the use of park impact fees, how much of that is supporting those park projects that were talked about in the capital improvement plan. Park impact fees supports over $600,000 of it. In addition to appropriations for water and sewer accounts for oversizing, there's a little over $500,000 incorporated for land purchase for a new water tower.
Where are we on the study about the fees?
We'll talk about that later in the agenda, because there is a item on impact fees on your agenda this evening.
So we're getting close to being able to have make a decision on, or have something presented to us to determine what we're doing with the fees?
I gave a lot of stuff to the consultant, but we've decided to carve some stuff out in front so that he'll be able to continue to do his work and we address some of the immediate
needs.
So it's on the agenda. I don't know what his exact timeline is.
Term.
We have these other funds that I won't go into in detail, but each of these kinds of projects, Civic Celebration, St. Martin's Fair, all the grants we get, we have to track these all in separate funds. The Tourism Commission is responsible for their own budget, but we'll include those, their final budget numbers, into our budget document for a good public record. Water Utility does the same thing. I understand they approved their budget earlier this evening.
Okay, Alderman Taylor's G12 that impact fees are. Okay, that's the presentation on the budget. This is a public hearing to have the public comment on this budget, so I'll open a public hearing on this matter. I know it's complex, but is there any member of the public who would like to speak on the budget? Mrs. Brunner decided no. Anyone wishing to speak on the budget? Okay, seeing no one rise, I will close the public hearing on this budget matter and move on to item G1, which is an ordinance. Oh, Alderman Taylor's got it.
I do have an amendment, but...
All right, let me start with item G1 is the budget approval. So, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, just a question, because we haven't taken up the item on the agenda that if we approve it, it would be $400 short from what's in the budget. There's, you know, simply moving to amend the budget, or Mayor, if you would assure me that if it passes, that you could absorb the $400 in some other way without having to make a big budget amendment.
What's the item?
It's Quarry Services contract.
There's sure $600,000
in there. It's $400 short. I could take it out of the quarry monitors and make a big, you know, but...
Find it. We find money for other things. We can find money for that.
Thank you. That was my question.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. So this morning I scared the mayor. not me. I at least I riled him up a little bit, and then Mr. Liberta, I riled him up also. So last night at Civic Cell, you know, I'm a member of Civic Celebrations. Sergeant Morris was there requesting that we rent message boards for Loomis Road because of the amount of traffic of people crossing, our residents crossing from the fairgrounds into the parking lot or wherever they're walking. And the dollar amount was like $800 for 3 days. And I said to the committee, I mean, I'm like, we don't own any of these things. We don't own a message board. I mean, think about when we have road closures or Oakwood Road is shut down, or as Officer Sergeant Morris said, you know, we could run programs like Click It and Ticket or whatever we're doing, DUI checkpoints. So we don't own one. Yeah, back whatever the what. Well, hey, you know, that's good. So. Right, but we didn't have one. So my whole thing has always been, why do we continually spend money on renting from someone else when we should, maybe certain items we should own? And if you have a committee like Civic Celebration where they could reimburse over time if that was a potential option. So I thought, let's take a look at buying it. Well, luckily Sergeant Morris did plenty of research, so I made a few calls and found out that DPW is requested one of these pieces of equipment, but for like Loomis Road, you need two, one in each direction. So I have an amendment here. DPW's quote that they were looking at, which was, I talked to Kevin Schleter, it was a very rough estimate, and it was like $19,000. And based on what he was telling me he was looking for, the company that Sergeant Morris had talked to, it's about $14,000. So I have a motion to basically move to approve a motion to add another $10,000. Basically, it's in yellow, Mark. Move to approve the motion as presented, replacing one trailer mount message signboard, $19,000, in the capital outlay fund with mobile message signboards, subject to council approval, a total of $29,000. So it doesn't change the budget. We're just going to direct that money to be sent.
Well, it does,
spent.
Just for clarification,
yeah.
And so it does add the added $10,000,
right,
to give a total ability of $29,000. Since we're only changing the expenditures, it's basically using $10,000 of what we anticipate will be the year-end fund,
right,
balance for the fund, which would still leave it at $55,000.
Right.
And this year we could have some savings, so we may be right where we want to be anyway. So. That's how we've suggested it could be done.
So that's my motion, and so when it says that subject council approval, this will, so right now DPW is the one requesting, and we've already in the budget got to the point saying yes, you can go out and get this. This is allowing the one for the police department. So there's gonna be times where maybe police is using two, or you could maybe buy. There's different ones where you could have maybe.
Well, the reason, based upon the discussion you and I had where I put in subject to council approval, the intent is to have the
them
police
come back
department
to us
and DPW,
right,
go back and investigate it further and come back with a,
right,
plan and say, Do you need the larger mobile ones or the smaller mobile ones and get three of them for the $8,000?
Right, because there's different prices. There's some that are basically on a trailer, and there's some that are like a portable post.
Yeah.
So let them decide between the two departments, and they can figure out, you know, who has them when. And there's going to be times, like I said, where Civic Celebration will take them. There's times where maybe the police department wants to do something, but Oakwood Road is closed, and now we have to put the two of them up for a period of time. So let them figure out, come back to us. But it's, I think it's something that